Jonas Salk, the man who defeated the dangerous illness, polio.
Find out where the enemy lives. Study how the enemy behaves. Find out how the enemy's numbers increase. Then attack the enemy. That was what I told myself, and that was my method during my life as a scientist. For me, the enemy was a disease. I was born on the 28th of October, 1914, in New York City, USA. My parents were Jewish Russians, but they moved to America to find a better life. They learned a new language and a new kind of life. I had two brothers and a sister, and my parents worked hard to give us all a good home. When I graduated from high school, my parents wanted me to attend college. At first, I planned to study law at City College in New York. But I was more interested in science than in law, so I decided to study medicine. I attended the New York Medical School and qualified as a doctor there. And in 1939, I married a girl called Donna Lindsay. At that time, in the later 1930s, there was a terrible depression in America. Many people were very poor. Many people didn't have jobs. Many people were ill. I wanted to help people, but I decided not to become a family doctor. I decided to work in medical research. I wanted to study viruses. After I qualified, I worked for a short time with Dr. Thomas Francis in Michigan. We wanted to find a vaccine to protect people against flu. Good progress was made on that project, but the work stopped for a while because of the Second World War. In those years, it was more important to do other projects. But later, we worked on flu again for the U.S. Army. After the war, I moved to Pittsburgh and worked at the university there. At this time, my interest was in a vaccine against poliomyelitis. Polio, as it was usually called, was a terrible disease. It could cripple people, and it could kill people. It could attack young people and old people. The disease had been identified in 1789, but 150 years later, it still crippled and killed millions of people. In 1952, in the USA, more than 21,000 people died as a result of polio. Some people who had the disease survived, but had to live in a machine that helped them to breathe. Others were able to live better lives, but with weak limbs. These people were often unable to move their legs properly, so they couldn't live normal lives. Polio was my enemy. Day after day and night after night, I saw the enemy at work. The disease was caused by a virus. I knew that. A man called Landsteiner had identified the virus in 1908. But I needed to know how the virus worked. I also needed to know how it moved from one person to another. Then, perhaps, I could find a vaccine that could stop the disease from doing this. Perhaps an answer to my problem was immunization, protecting people by giving them injections. This had been successful with other diseases. Was it possible to protect people from a serious attack of polio by giving them a form of the disease which wasn't serious? I thought that this might be the correct answer to my problem, but lots of work was needed on the virus. From 1950, it was possible to grow the virus in a laboratory because of the work of two other doctors. It was now possible to have large amounts of the virus to work on. I worked on this laboratory virus, and I found something useful. I found that the chemical called formaldehyde made the virus much weaker. If I inject this very weak virus into healthy people, will it protect them from getting polio? I asked myself. I tested the idea by injecting animals. It worked. The animals didn't become sick, and they didn't get polio. Next, I needed to test the injection on people. I knew that the danger from a serious polio attack was much worse than the danger from my very weak laboratory virus. So I asked my wife, Donna, "Can I inject you and our three sons?" She agreed, and I injected them, and also myself. None of us became ill. I wanted to protect healthy people from polio, but I also wanted to improve the lives of people who already had the disease. I was able to inject some children who already had polio. The injections were successful. They made the lives of the children better. It was time to offer the treatment to many more people. By 1954, vaccinations had begun in the USA. Dr. Thomas Francis from Michigan was very helpful to me again. As a result, 2 million children aged 6 to 9 were involved, and this was only the start. 2 years later, the number of people who got polio in the USA had fallen by 85%. The number of deaths from the disease fell too. And by 1959, the vaccination was used in more than 90 countries. In 1961, a man called Dr. Albert Sabin made a new kind of vaccine. It was an oral vaccine. It was put in patients' mouths, and they swallowed it, so there wasn't an injection. This made it much easier to give the vaccine to children. Together, we were beating the enemy. There was still a lot of work to do. That's why, in the 1960s, I established a new laboratory, the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California. We worked on treatments for many diseases there. By 1994, there was no poliomyelitis in the USA. But there was still a lot of polio in 4 countries, Nigeria, India, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. So the fight continued. My own research in my later years was on treatments for the HIV virus, which causes the disease called AIDS. That virus became a big problem around the world. Disease will always be the enemy. Medical people will always have to fight against new diseases. But when I died on the 23rd of June, 1995, I knew that I'd made the world a better place.